This is the 343 Podcast. I'm your host, John Pronich. Welcome to the show. Across the globe, players of all ages from 7 years old to adults benefit from the street game. And it's that informal pickup culture that the American player lacks. The barrio, as Hispanic and Latino cultures call it, is where strong mentalities, ball skills of smooth, not mechanicized variety, and the dark arts of the game are forged. This is something you can't get at your club, and this is something that you cannot get with personal training. And this is something that is not only critical to top-level player development, but also a huge accelerator for any lower-level player who wants to quickly, relatively speaking, catch up to his immediate peers. If a player doesn't have this throughout their early developmental years, they are behind their international counterparts. So in this episode, Gary Kleiben joins me to discuss the importance of playing pickup games and the importance of pickup game culture. We'll get started with our conversation after this short message about our online coaching education program. Thanks so much for being here with us. When it comes to coaching education, being able to discern what will and won't help you can be costly and confusing. The internet is flooded with so much information. There are tons of drills out there for you to watch and tons of things that you can try with your players and teams. But without the proper context and the proper guidance from a legit mentor, you are not going to get the edge that you are looking for or the results that you want. That's what the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program gets right. It's rooted in the real experiences of a master practitioner that has coached soccer right here in America. As a coach, Brian Kleiben has been able to overcome all of the obstacles and produce college-level, professional, and international caliber players. Training just twice per week, field congestion, pay-to-play, you name it. But using the 343 framework and staying consistent with the methodology has led to tremendous success. What the 343 coaching program offers you is a look at Brian's actual work, his real art. It's all captured and delivered to you in its purest form to help you gain an advantage and become a better coach. This exclusive online program features videos of Brian mic'd up during actual training sessions with his real players and teams as they prepare for league games and tournaments. This is the only program in the country that gives you this type of authentic, behind-the-curtain look at player, team, and coach development. It's unlike anything else in this country. It cannot be replicated, and it's not theory or speculation like you'd see in a presentation or something staged like you'd get at a convention. So if you're looking for drills, we've got those, but more importantly, we have the mentorship, the proven results, and the community of ambitious coaches that you won't find anywhere else. To experience all of this, consider joining the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program. You can find all of the details at 343coaching.com. So today we are going to talk about one of the most important pieces of player development, although it's not widely talked about or widely recognized as an important piece here in the United States. And that important piece is the pickup game. And pickup game culture, actually. So you've been very adamant about making sure that parents and players and coaches know about this piece of the development process. It's one of the five components that you've listed out before that we've talked about before. But today we're really just going to focus on this one aspect of the development and why it's so important and the benefits of it and how players can use it to improve themselves. So I guess, as always, kind of a good place to start is just your general thoughts on the pickup game and pickup game culture and why it is so important to you, or why you think it is so important to the soccer player, but specifically the American soccer player. So I guess we can start there.
Sure. So often I think about two things. I think about personal experience, and I think about the experience and stories of others globally. From a global perspective, I think it's a safe bet that every time you read a professional player's background, and all these world-class players are included here, they always mention that they had a very healthy dose of pickup soccer. What does that mean? That means it's not club training, it's not personal training, it's going out to the park and playing 3v3, 4v4, 5v5, 7v7, even 11v11 at times with other players that are from around the area. And this happens at all ages, from the time you can basically walk or play the game, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, all the way through 18 years of age, and even into your 20s, and even to the point where you're a pro already, and you're not supposed to go play pickup games, contractually speaking. You know, obviously you're an asset to the club that pays your salary, but they end up going and playing pickup anyways. But from a developmental standpoint, this is a super healthy dose. What does this mean? It means that they're probably playing pickup anywhere from 2 to 7 times a week while you're growing up, and consistently every week. And these great players attribute a huge part of their formation and a huge reason for them, quote unquote, making it to the top, to these pickup games. So that's the story side of it that you read. And then from personal experience, you know, this is what I did growing up as well. I didn't reach the pro game. I like to think I got to a decent level where I was a decent player and I didn't embarrass myself. And I too attribute most, if not the vast majority of my capabilities to playing this sort of street football. In Argentina, when I would visit growing up, my family would go every 2 years since I was a baby up until maybe I was 18 years of age and I was more independent and didn't travel that much anymore. One thing that always struck me was, every few blocks in Argentina, there were these kind of like indoor-like-ish arenas. You know, they're outdoor, okay, but it's like indoor-sized soccer fields, and they called it Fútbol Cinco. So it's basically a 5v5 sort of space, but they were everywhere. So you can kind of see why a culture develops around that sort of street game and why players from Argentina have a certain style of play to them and certain technical abilities to them. France, I've been to France, but I haven't necessarily, you know, walked all the streets and seen how frequently these things pop up as well. But you read the stories and it seems to be commonplace also in that country and other countries, obviously. But obviously from personal experience, John, I think it's hugely important.
Yeah, I can kind of piggyback on that and say when I visited Croatia for the first time, the neighborhood village had like its own small field, like a small goals field, and kind of like every street or almost every family actually put together a team. And yeah, they would play like 5v5 in this really small area, but that's what that little patch of grass was kind of known for. And I remember my dad growing up telling me stories about, you know, how they used to play on that field. And my dad used to tell me that their first soccer ball was made out of cow hair. Like they use cowhide to make a soccer ball. And but that was the same field in that same village where my dad grew up playing just that small-sided soccer. And he said he used to just couldn't wait to run there after school. Like it was the first thing that he would do. He would run there barefoot, no cleats. He would tell me stories about the first time he got his cleats and everything. But it was just going to those small-sided games that you know, really, yeah, was the kind of the whole foundation of his development, because they didn't have any organized thing where he was. It wasn't until he was much older that he got to play organized soccer. And I think that kind of rings true in a lot of different areas throughout the world, and not so much here in the United States. And I'm glad you brought up Argentina. It allowed me to kind of talk about Croatia, but I'm wondering if there's any other cultures that you believe or that you've seen that, you know, really embody this pickup culture or this pickup mentality. And I also want to kind of ask you about, you know, does that pickup culture exist in the United States or not? So those are the two questions I wrote down as you were talking.
They're good questions, because I regularly see people commenting here and throughout the years that, well, Gary, we don't have these sorts of places to play pickup every five blocks like you just described in Argentina. We don't have that culture. And to that, you know, there is a point and there is not a point. There's a point that those sorts of soccer-specific areas aren't prevalent here in the States. But what's very inaccurate is this idea that we don't have this pickup culture here in the States, or we don't have that many pickup games, or it's invisible and nobody's doing it. That is just not true. You know, me growing up and to this very day, right now I'm limping around on a busted knee. It's probably an MCL or meniscus strain or something that I received, you know, a week and a half ago playing pickup games, except that I was dumb enough to play a pickup game with a bunch of former college 28-year-olds, and my body doesn't move that way. And I went in for a tackle and I hurt myself, but that's beside the point. The point is that there are pickup games here in the States. I never had to worry about there not being this availability. It's just being hosted by, in my case, the Latino culture here. It could be Mexicans, Colombians, Peruvians, Chileans, an amalgamation of all of those types of South Americans and Central Americans. In any nearby park from where I grew up, there were picked up games. You exchanged information with those people and they would hit you up. They would call you, or, you know, we would always have preset days and times where everybody's going to meet, you know, and you don't know if 10 people are going to show up or four people are going to show up, but you show up and you play. I think the lack of that sort of culture is quite prevalent and accurate in the quote unquote suburban American household. And what I mean by that are the family households who are accustomed to, or aren't coming from a soccer first heritage, so to speak, and are more accustomed to the organized sports complex that exists here in the States, where you pay your $2,000 or $5,000 or however much club fees are, and you drop your kid off at the club. They get their training in, play on the weekends. And then in between those times, you're not playing pickup soccer and there's nothing else going on. So I think we need to be very careful in saying that there is no opportunity for pickup soccer here. There absolutely is. You just might have to go a little bit out of your way to connect with the cultures that I just described.
Now, from personal experience, I can say the same things, a lot of the same things that you have, where I mean, even to the point where I injured myself playing pickup. But yeah, I've been able to find pickup games. My circle plays pickup games on a regular basis. But from a developmental standpoint, I'm curious what your thoughts might be on, you know, how prevalent are pickup games or that pickup culture at the younger ages in these development years? Because the pickup games that I'm a part of and that I've played in historically have primarily been with older players, and you kind of describe too as like 28-year-olds and ex-college players. I see a lot of like lunchtime games and those types of things. But from a developmental standpoint, how much of that pickup culture is happening, and what are your observations on that?
Yeah, probably a little bit less so. That is a good point. But from personal experience, again, what I just described, I was doing this at age 10, at age 12, at age 14 and 16, certainly before my adolescence. Nowadays, maybe because I'm not training young players, I'm not looking out for that, and I'm certainly not a young player myself, I'm not sensitized to it, so I don't see it, but I don't think it doesn't exist. And from that, I'm confident in, because when we were training youth players at those ages, the parents of those youth players would always inform us that the kids are constantly playing pickup soccer. And now in the age of social media, I see these things happening as well, but maybe it's a little bit more of an organized fashion, where these young youth soccer kids, they're posting on social that they're in these gymnasium-like areas. I don't know if it's high school. I don't think it's high school, but it's more like soccer specific, little parks that have cropped up, for profit parks, and they are playing there as well. You just have to look them up. I don't remember the names of these franchises off the top of my head, John, but they do exist, at least here in Southern California, quite prevalently. It's maybe a maximum of a 15-minute drive, but that does introduce a new variable, right? It's not like the 12-year-old can just walk out of the home and then walk to a park where there's a pickup game. They're going to have maybe some assistance from their parents to get there.
Outside of mentioning that pickup culture exists and pickup games exists, I want to get into, you know, what the pickup environment really, you know, allows a player to do and what the benefits are, especially for young players. And actually, you know, outside of the benefits, what can be detrimental to a player if they don't have the opportunities or if they don't take advantage of the opportunities to seek out these types of pickup games. So, you know, what are the benefits of using pickup culture? How does that play into the development process? And then if a player isn't in that environment, what are they lacking when they get to the actual game at the older ages?
In pickup, that's the environment where you get to experiment a lot as an individual player. And by experiment, I mean, you know, practicing step overs, these fancy sorts of things, practice dribbling between, you know, 2, 3, 4 defenders, practice chips, practice, I mean, you name it. That is where you have fun, try to do new things, try to hone the craft of doing these new difficult sorts of maneuvers as an individual, which is very important because that is not the structured club environment, which everybody in the States is accustomed to, is not the place to be really training those things. I hear a lot of times in the States, oh, you know, one of the reasons we're not creative is because clubs here in the States and coaches here in the States don't let the players take risks. You know, they don't let the players dribble too much. They don't let them have all this creative freedom. And that's not really the reason. The reason is, you know, the player has to develop those abilities outside the club environment. Because in the club environment, you should be teaching how to play the appropriate team game. And the appropriate team game is not doing whatever the hell you want on the field. So where do you get these skills? You get them outside of that environment. You get them in pickup. And then when you come to the club structured environment, if you have acquired a certain degree of those skills, your coach and your club will say, ah, this is a creative player that has this ability. And they then afford you more liberties on the weekends to do those or showcase those skills. But if you're a player that does not have any of these abilities and then you go on the weekend and that is where you want to try it for the first time, you know, that's probably not the right approach, not the right mentality.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about, you know, the advantages, you know, of using that pickup culture to develop those kind of what we've kind of labeled as like special skills in the past, you know, step overs and just trying different kind of like fancy moves and whatnot. Those aren't things that a coach should spend hours and hours teaching to the entire team. Like you shouldn't walk by a practice and see a coach training 15, 20 players all at once. You know, here's how you do a step over. So the pickup culture or the pickup game is where that should be happening. So if a player, say, doesn't have that experience in pickup games and isn't getting that from their team environment, if their coach is, you know, using the team environment properly and teaching like tactics and you know how to play the team game, can a player catch up in those categories of developing those types of special skills? You know, say that they don't really start doing that till 15 or 16 or 18, or you know, are they like a lost cause if they didn't start it at age 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
A good question. I think it's context dependent. I think for sure you're very far behind other players who are doing everything under the sun that they can to get better. I mean, that's common sense. If other players are going to club training, getting the team training at that location, and then spending 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days or more playing pickup soccer outside of that structured club environment, then clearly player B that I just described is far ahead of player A, who is doing the bare minimum. Can they catch up? It's a great question. I think it's going to be very difficult. Do they need to catch up? That's another context-based question, because if you're a center back, you don't necessarily need to have Neymar-type abilities to be successful as a center back. So your competition locally, regionally, nationally, globally, among center backs, maybe you're not, maybe the probability of catching up is higher. But if you're a central midfielder or a winger or those sorts of creative positions where you're constantly under pressure on the ball and you constantly have to be creative to wiggle your way out of issues in match time, or you're in the final third and you need to do something remarkable to unbalance the defense, all those sorts of scenarios, well then, guess what? The Argentines are working on that since they're little kids, as are most South Americans, as are the French, as are many Europeans. And if you're here in the United States and now you are 15 years of age, like you mentioned, John, and you have not been having fun and expressing those sorts of things, developing those sorts of things in the pickup soccer environment, well, I mean, it sounds callous, but good luck catching up to the Brazilian who has been doing that since age of 9. You might be able to make some progress with respect to your American colleagues, although they also are catching wind of what it is that they need to do to reach the highest levels of the game. But gosh, man, it's going to be you have a very large hill to climb.
I like that you kind of put it into global context, and that perspective is pretty important when it comes to the other people that are developing as well. So like, there's another 15-year-old out there that has experience, that has the dream to make it pro. And, if you're competing against, other 15-year-olds or other 2002s or however you want to label it, you have to have that global context or that global perspective, is that person's fighting for your job too, if you want to be a professional player. And I don't know if that gets mentioned enough. I think that might be a separate topic, but it kind of ties into, all of the experience that goes into player development, and then specifically this. And if you're missing one of those kind of five components that we've laid out before, but another player your same age that has experience in all five of those has, a better shot at making it and fulfilling their dreams. So I think that context is important.
Yeah, there's no question. And on a positive note, not everybody maybe has the dream really of being a professional. So if we don't want to talk about the professional game and we just are talking about a youth player, a young player who wants to get better, family who wants their son or daughter to get better and improve and become a starter on their local team, or maybe graduate, to the next higher level of club soccer, or, get to the point where they're on the varsity high school team, or maybe make it to an academy or an MLS academy or things of that nature where it's not necessarily becoming a professional. The good news is that if you start doing what we're suggesting with these pickup games, well, you're going to get better really fast, especially compared to your local competition, to the point where, hey, you could relatively quickly, within 6 months or a year or something of that order, become a starter on your team, whereas you were always, a player that was coming off the bench, for example. Or, you could get to the point where you're scoring a lot of goals in your local club soccer scene because you put in that extra work, and your competition at that particular level is not doing it. We're not talking about Brazilians and Paul Pogba's in France that you're competing against. You're competing against, other kids in your area. So that is the bright side of the equation, is that you can't go wrong. Just get started today and you're going to get better as a player.
There's one aspect of the pickup game that we haven't really talked about yet. We've talked about, how you can develop some skill, like different skills, technical skills. You can try some stuff out there, but there's a whole other side to the pickup game that is more like the mentality side. And there's two lines that you've written that have really kind of stuck with me as I've talked about pickup games in the past. And I'll read those two lines right now and then get your reaction to them. But the pickup game is where you can clown and you get clowned on. And then the second line is privilege and entitlements go out the window here. This is the jungle. So learning how to survive mentally in those types of environments, I think is something that you cannot replace anywhere else in those five development components. Like that, this is really the only place where you can learn how to survive mentally like in those situations. I don't know if you have a reaction to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, kids can be mean, right? We've all been kids. We've all seen bullies. been bullied. But listen, let's not take what I just said in such a negative light. I'm not talking about bullying here. I'm basically talking about, you know, kids will be kids, boys will be boys, and there's an intrinsic human nature about us where competition comes out, you know. It's like a natural instinct. And in this pickup environment where there isn't necessarily adult supervision, or I should say parental supervision, because there could definitely be adults in the mix, but they're not your relatives. You know, there's a hierarchy that naturally forms. And then if you're in the middle of that pecking order, on the bottom of that pecking order, you get to experience a wide range of emotions, whether it be you're never picked for somebody's team or you're always last to be picked. And being able to handle that. And then you're playing a game. And if you're not as good as the other players, maybe you don't get the ball passed to you very often. And when you do, if you lose possession, maybe the other players get on your case a lot. So these are the sorts of things that you have to absorb as a player, accept them, learn how to manage them, overcome them. Because if you stick with it and you overcome these things and you become better and you end up going up that hierarchy, you become mentally strong to the point where if you progress in the structured soccer environment and you're confronted with not being the starter or always being substituted out or, you know, all these obstacles that present themselves, you know how to handle that, you know, and it doesn't impact you emotionally like it would if you were a player that did not experience this in the barrios and in the jungle, as you said, John. So I think that's hugely important. And then from the other end of the spectrum is if you are the best player most of the time in these pickup games, you acquire other sorts of skills. You acquire the skills of leadership. You acquire the skills of communicating with other players in a nice and a not so nice manner, and you get to practice to see what works and what doesn't work, because if you're on a team, you want your team to win. And so naturally, I think these sorts of behaviors you get to learn versus if you weren't in those environments.
Yeah, I'm thinking about ways that, you know, you can connect the dots for how a pickup game could instill something in a player that they can translate, that can then translate to the regular or to the regular game or the big field. And you know, the example I keep thinking about is if you get megged in a pickup game, do you put your head down and just kind of walk and be sad? Or when you get megged, do you go chase after the person and do you hunt them down and try to get the ball back? Do you go and chop them down? Do you make sure that person doesn't progress any further? And so what I'm thinking about is, you know, yeah, when you lose the ball in a real game, Barcelona is probably one of the most popular examples. They try to win the ball back in 6 seconds. So they lose the ball, and then all of a sudden, like, these players are hunting like animals to go win the ball back. And I think there can be a connection there, because, you know, so many times in so many games that I've refereed and watched and coached, you know, there's a turnover and the player gets sad and the player puts their head down and they, you know, mentally they're removed from the game. And you can't have that mentality if you want to be one of the best players on the field, whether you're talking about, you know, high school soccer or the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a whole there's all this camaraderie that also gets formed in pickup culture. This sort of, I don't know, I've never served my country or been in the military. You know, I've only heard stories about the camaraderie, you know, brothers in arms sorts of things. And I get the sense that in team sport, there's a little bit of that. And then in the pickup circles, that seems to be quite intensified. And I think that translates too, John. Anyways, I don't know what else to add there.
No, I think so too. It's kind of like, I think in Argentina, they call them like small societies. And then in other arenas, they call it tribes. Like you're, like it's kind of like your tribe and you feel like you belong to something. And actually, Sebastian Younger wrote a great book called Tribes. It's actually mostly focused on the military, but there's he talks about other aspects of life as well and how important being part of that tribe is and what that does for a person's psyche and whatnot. So if anybody's looking for any writing about that, I'll see if I can link to that maybe. But yeah, that definitely is important. What would you say to somebody, you know, they're saying, nah, like, you know, there's no pickup games in my area, or I live too far away, or, you know, the kids in my neighborhood, like nobody plays with each other or things like that. So what would you say to somebody that wants to seek out this pickup culture after listening to this, but they don't really have a way to, or they don't think they have a way to?
No, good question. Gosh, two things come to mind. One is form your own pickup game. Right now, the world is so connected via the internet, obviously, and these social media platforms. Why not use as a base the team that you belong to, or the teams that you belong to, or the club that you belong to? And if you're a go-getter type of family or parents in this case, because we're talking about youth players, why not try to form pickup games on your own? Why not identify a particular park in the area, a certain day and a time, and then go and connect with the other parents on your team or in your club and say, hey, I'm going to host this, you know, for my son or my daughter. Come over and play whenever you can, whenever you want. Form a group, form a message group, and then send the date and time to everybody and have people show up and play. I think that would be my number one recommendation. You know that we ourselves try to do something like that, John, but in a more organized fashion here. We experimented a few years back and there were lessons learned. It was a four-play sort of program, which seems kind of weird because pickup soccer isn't necessarily four-play unless you're in these organized arenas, like I mentioned before, where it's maybe a $5 entry fee or something and you just get to spend, I don't know, a few hours in there. We did something similar and a lot of people came on board and we did host these pickup games for a period of 6 months. And the numbers that would show up would greatly fluctuate. You know, it would range from 8 players to, at its zenith, you know, maybe 35, 40 players. But anyways, we kind of had to abandon that for a host of reasons, right? Logistical reasons, availability of myself and others to be there and kind of supervise and be available. But I think that there might be something to that, John. That would be my recommendation. Start something yourself.
Our flagship program helps coaches and trainers discern what is good for their teams and for their players. But now we've created a program for parents. Because parents, you are personal trainers too. Yep, that's right. And in order to properly mentor your player, you need to know what's good and what's not. Just like coaches, you and your player are flooded with thousands of training videos on YouTube and Instagram. But most of them are a waste of time because they aren't relevant. They don't translate to the real game. And figuring out what does and what doesn't and why is just flat out difficult. Especially if you don't have a background in soccer to lean on. So we've taken Brian Kleiben's more than 20 years of experience working with teams and individual players from U9 to U19 and extracted valuable lessons that can help you navigate the minefield that is American youth soccer. But this isn't just about drills. That's only a small fraction of it. And to be honest, you can get drills anywhere. What you're getting with the 343 Masterclass are the cultural lessons and an education in philosophy that other trainers and courses don't offer. It's these elements that can help you understand the landscape, read the game on and off the field, and translate everything into real development for your player. Right now, you can get on the list for the 343 Masterclass. We are currently rolling it out little by little to small groups. To reserve your spot, go to 343masterclass.com. All right, thank you for listening. Do you have a question about the topic that we covered in this episode? If so, we'd love to hear from you, and we will be answering some of your questions at the end of next week's episode. Submit your questions on Twitter or head to 343coaching.com to leave your question in the comment section. Make sure that you are subscribed to 343 FM on your favorite podcasting app. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and many more platforms. And if you're feeling super generous, we'd love it if you dropped us a 5-star rating or a review. And don't forget that you can find our entire library of podcast episodes, over 200 written articles, and our online courses that help accelerate the development of coaches and players using methods that have been proven to work here in the United States. Once again, all of that can be found at 343coaching.com. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time here on the 343 Podcast.